We live in the greatest country in the on the planet still today with the greatest opportunity out there. And if you're not satisfied with where you're at, you have the ability to change that. It's not going to happen overnight. It's probably going to take a while, but don't just live a settled for life. Get after it, get busy, and take advantage of the opportunity that we have here, because you can provide more for yourself and your family, but it is going to take an inordinate amount of work and effort to do what many others out there won't be able to do. So don't be looking for a shortcut. Just get excited about paying the price and making it happen, because it is possible. I'm living proof of it today.
Welcome to Star of the Doubts. I'm your host, Jared Easley. Join us today, someone different, someone new. Just kidding. It's Chris Murphy from Franklin, Tennessee. Hey, Chris.
It's me. The same old, same old.
Nobody's surprised or fooled anymore with that. But hey, Chris, I've talked to you about in the past about different ideas of trying to come up with a little entrepreneur side hustle, if you will.
Yeah, of course.
Something that I'm interested in teaching my daughter as she gets a little bit older. And doing that, I was thinking about vending. I was like, who do I know in vending? And then it just occurred, like, I know Matt Miller. Matt knows all about vending. So we're really lucky today to talk about Matt and his business and his journey and learn a little bit. So Matt's from School Spirit Vending, SSVbusiness.com. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jared and Chris, thanks for having me on, man.
Oh, our pleasure. Oh, so let's just start there, Matt. We've met through Podcast Movement. You are a fellow podcaster. You're a fellow entrepreneur. Let's talk a little bit about you for those that just aren't, they don't have a frame of reference yet.
Yeah. You know, my background is in the military. I was an Air Force pilot for 9 years, went to the Air Force Academy for college, spent 11 years in the corporate world, and then decided that I needed to do my own thing. So about midway through that, started playing around with a bunch of different businesses. And that's where the whole idea of vending came up. And here we are today, you know, 5.5 years after leaving the corporate gig, and this is what I do. And live out here kind of in the middle of EIEIO in Central Texas.
Hey, Matt, I want to point out real quick that Chris Murphy, my esteemed co-host, his wife was an officer in the Air Force. So you guys have that in common.
She sure was. Awesome. Awesome. Well, we got that in common. And Franklin, Tennessee is one of my favorite places on the planet. So, I mean, we awesome. Got some things going for us right there already, Chris.
Well, you know what? I'm a big fan of any farming kind of song. So when you said EIEIO, I automatically started digging what you were putting down.
I was going to say that's going to be the hashtag for this episode.
EIEIO.
I don't even know how to spell that. I have to Google it.
Just do it with the letters phonetically.
Yes.
You know, we lived in Houston forever, and you guys all remember seeing Hurricane Katrina coverage, right? 10 years yeah. or so ago. And then in the Houston area, we had Hurricane Rita come behind a couple of weeks later, and everybody in Houston freaked, even though the situation was completely different. New Orleans underwater, you know, or under sea level, et cetera. Anyway, everybody decided to evacuate all at once in Houston, and we got stuck in traffic with no gas, you know, food, no bathrooms, no nothing. And after that experience, we came actually up here to Stephenville, where we live today, to stay with relatives for about 10 days until power came back on. But that one experience made us decide, you know what, we're going to get out of the city and we're going to get some space. We're going to get a little land, you know, have a garden, raise some animals, and be able to see the stars at night. So that was one of our big goals, to walk away from the corporate stuff. And of course, you know, business has allowed us to do that.
Matt, I want the record to reflect that I have been to Stephenville, Texas, and that's the home of Tarleton State University.
Yes, sir.
And it is west of Fort Worth. I know a little bit about Stephenville, Texas. So
cowboy capital of the world, man.
Now that I think about it, I'm going to show off my knowledge of, or my lack of knowledge of Stephenville. There is a famous rodeo guy that lives right there, right? And his name is, it's driving me crazy.
Ty Murray.
Ty. Yeah,
used
there
to
you
be
go.
Married to Jewel.
Jewel, singer. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, I did know that. I couldn't remember his name, though. It's all good. So you've created your own little rodeo with vending and stuff. So I want to talk about that. You transitioned from the corporate life into vending. Why vending?
You know what, Jared? To be honest, I didn't have any choice way back when. I was in a really, really, really deep hole financially about 10 years ago. We had just started to work our way you know, into a pretty good place. And my boss ended up making some decisions that cost my family about $80,000 one year at the company that I worked for. And so I went from being a hero to a zero overnight, went from doing, you know, being fairly comfortable to not knowing how I was going to keep the roof over our head and food on the table. And looking at the corporate compensation plan, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to make, you know, any significant impact anytime soon with that. So I started doing some stuff on the side. Initially, I was collecting aluminum cans, sold used books online. My garage looked like a library there for a while with aisle after aisle after aisle of books.
I'm sure your wife loved that.
Yeah, but you know what? We had to do what we had to do. I mean, we lived in a 1,200 square foot house on the northeast side of Houston in a suburb called Kingwood for almost 11 years. You know, three kids, Amy and I had three bedrooms. And, you know, between the garage being the library for the book business and then the living room actually ended up becoming the vending machine assembly area for several years once I got into vending. But, you know, I had read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that book changed everything for me. And I would encourage your audience, if you guys haven't read that book, you need to stop after this podcast and you need to download that book and you need to read it, because Kiyosaki talks about the different ways of making money. And most of us, all we know is trading time directly for it. And he woke me up to this whole thing that, of course, authors and people with real estate and musicians and all that have known about for years, because that's oftentimes how they got paid. And I was like, well, I got to figure out a way to do this. The challenge was I didn't even have enough money to own my own house, let alone rental property. And that's kind of what Kiyosaki, at least initially, built his empire on. So I started looking for other things and had a good buddy of mine from church one Sunday mentioned that he had gotten a couple of gumball machines with his daughters. And it was something they were doing together as a family. They were learning about business. They were making some money. And I remembered that. And I was like, you know what? Gumballs are only a quarter and it's going to take a lot of them to get me out of this mess. But the machines are very inexpensive and the machines do all the selling. So I can continue to do my corporate thing and do what I need to there to provide for my family. But then on nights and weekends and whatever, start to put this vending thing together on the side. And I found a used candy and gumball machine on eBay from a guy across Houston for $36. I bought a couple eBooks on Amazon and read up on them and kind of taught myself the business. Went across town one Saturday morning, picked that machine up. And the following Monday after work, I went out and started knocking on doors, trying to figure this thing out. And, you know, it took a while. It was not fun. You know, there was a lot of ups and downs along the way, but I literally cash flowed this thing from day one, from one gumball machine to where today we're a franchise with thousands of locations across the country and are growing like a weed.
You know, Matt, I got to imagine people are thinking kind of like I am, where there might be a little bit of fear and intimidation thinking, okay, I could potentially afford a machine that I find on eBay, but then where do I place it? Yeah. You know, I all these questions of, I wouldn't even know where to begin. And you said you read books on Amazon's, but did you go through any of that when you were knocking on doors, so to speak?
Oh yeah, man. I mean, we all go through it, but Jared, I didn't have a choice.
Right.
You know, I mean, right around that time I got turned down for a payday loan. Well, you don't have to have a credit rating for a payday loan, but I had a couple of overdrafts the month before, and you got to bring a bank statement in and show that you don't have any dings on your bank statement. And I failed that test. So, I mean, you know, here I am, quote unquote, America's finest, right? Air Force Academy grad, former pilot. And here I am not even able to get a payday loan. I mean, it was a bad spot. And so I just had to do what I had to do. And it wasn't fun. It wasn't glamorous. It was very, very humbling experience in time. But, you know, I didn't let myself take a hit, you know, personally, because it was circumstances beyond my control. And so I just needed to figure it out. And whereas a lot of people, I think, will get ready to 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 do something, I'm the guy that'll take action and figure it out as I go. and I'm going to mess up a lot and do a lot of stupid stuff along the way. But chances are I've learned more in that process than somebody who is just studying or reading or writing a business plan or whatever to get ready, if that makes sense.
It does. And Matt, I want to point out, we mentioned your website, ssvbusiness.com. On the history of School Spirit Vending, there's a picture of you cleaning grease from one of your pizza delivery side jobs that you're using to pay for machines. Talk about that process of, okay, you talked about how you bought this one gumball machine. Obviously, you decided I'm going to buy some more machines, and you needed to be able to cash flow this, as you mentioned. So what was that like, going and getting these side hustles to make that happen?
You know, that was probably the most humbling experience I've ever had, was walking into the brand new local Pizza Hut, just getting ready to open, and asking for a job. And the guy across the table from me saying, do you realize you're a little overqualified? Why are you here? And I told him, I said, listen, I've got a business. I need more seed capital. And so I would really like to have this job so that I can, you know, be able to grow faster. The most humiliating thing was to wear my little Pizza Hut garb around with my hat and my shirt and all that stuff and start knocking on doors, you know, delivering pizzas of people in my community that I knew, that knew where I came from before and had no clue that I was doing pizza delivery as well. But once again, what am I going to do? I had no choice. And I learned in high school when I sang in the choir, I was in 12 different plays and musicals, and I lettered in football and track, that you got to have a thick skin, because I had the jocks that were giving me a hard time about the musical I was in. And then I had all the thespians that I was hanging out with giving me a hard time about all the jocks. And I knew I couldn't satisfy anybody in that place. So I just got about, you know, doing my own thing and not really caring. And that's helped out a lot along the way, because wasn't doing it for anybody else but me and my family. So really, what did it matter what they thought?
You know, Matt, I actually will say that I have also delivered pizzas and washed dishes as a family man and as a, you know, a person that seemingly, like everybody that I was working around, were in college or in high school even at the pizza place. But I have delivered and washed dishes at pizza places and opened Starbucks at 4:30 in the morning and doing that type of thing too. So I definitely can relate. But it was one of those things where when I got low on my self-confidence and my ego was just, it felt like it was taking a hit. I kept trying to tell myself, and sometimes it worked better than others, but I kept telling myself that when they make the movie of me, this will be that period that shows the grit that I was able to attain where I may not have gotten it otherwise. Do you find that gave you a sense of grit to push through and to even to work harder on this side of it?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You know, there's probably not a whole lot that I couldn't figure out how to overcome if I needed to. Now, granted, the military helped out a lot with that, with basic training and going through the academy. You're going from a big fish in a little pond at the high school I went to outside of Chicago, being near the top of my class, to being the top of the bottom half of my class at the academy when it was all said and done. But I mean, I have found that there's very few things in life that you can't recover from. But I've also learned patience and have realized that, you know, it's not going to happen as fast as I want it to. It's probably going to take more time, cost more, et cetera. But that doesn't make it any less worth it. It just means that the price is going to be a little bit bigger than most of us, you know, think it's going to be. You know, I think one of the challenges that our society does today, or does a disservice to most of the population, is, you know, we hear about all these people, you know, the Hollywood stars, the, you know, the Kardashians, the LeBron James of the world and all that. And all we hear about is their riches and where they're going out to eat and the clothes they wear, the cars they drive. We never hear about what happened to get them there. You know, we never hear about the thousands upon thousands of hours that LeBron played basketball when all his buddies were out partying or chasing the ladies. We don't hear about that. All we hear about is the greatest, you know, one of the greatest basketball players on the planet, LeBron James. And along the way, I think people, there's a disconnect between the overwhelming effort that got him where he is today and where he is today. And I think we do a disservice to people if we don't share that.
I was recently listening to the audiobook for Willie Nelson's, I think it's called It's a Long Story. And the beginning of that book, he kind of talks through his Matt Miller phase where he was selling Kirby vacuum cleaners, and he was running out of gas, you know, on the highway, and he couldn't afford to put food on the table. Wow. And just listening to Willie Nelson, you think, oh, okay, here's a super successful person. And it's hard to imagine him being in those scenarios, but he went through some really, really tough stuff before he got to where he was. Matt, we know you didn't stay where you were, and in the bio on the website, we talked about the picture of you doing the pizza delivery side job. That was back in 2009. You fast forward these several years. Obviously, you didn't stay in that position. Something broke. Something happened. So let's talk a little bit about where you started to see light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I had built up my vending route with candy and gumballs and then adventured into toys and temporary tattoos and stickers and all that. And after about a year and a half of being in vending, I had about 120 or so locations around Houston and had built up a side income that was two times what I was bringing home from my corporate job working full time. And then 07 and 08 hit. The market tanked. Less people were going out and frequenting the businesses where I had equipment. And I was frustrated because I'd built this thing up, was excited about the prospect of the future, and then kind of the bottom fell out. And right around that time, I had three young kids come knocking on my door selling me stuff for the local schools for fundraising. And I had kids a similar age at the time. I was like, you know, there's no way I'm going to let my kids go knocking door to door on strangers' doors selling stuff. You know, there's something wrong with this picture. But then I also thought, wait a second, you know, the kids aren't coming out to the locations where I'm at because of the economy, but the kids are in school 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. So what if there's a way I can create something that kind of takes care of both? It gets some kids off the street and it provides a more stable location on a multitude of levels to run a business. So we came up with this whole idea of doing custom spirit stickers for the schools where we would customize them with their mascots and their logos and colors and all. And then we'd play sticker machines in the school. And it ended up being a passive fundraiser for the school that required no volunteers and no upfront money for them. And of course, it provided a passive income stream for us. And I had a good buddy of mine who was an elementary PE teacher. He and his wife came by for dinner one night and I shared with him my idea. He said, let me check with the principal at my school and see what she thinks. And he came back a couple weeks later, said, hey, you're approved. Bring a machine. Let's do this.
Wow.
So West Columbia Elementary in West Columbia, Texas, right off the Gulf Coast, about an hour and a half southwest of Houston, was where we placed our first school October of 07. So almost 9 years ago. And tested for the first few months. The machine did incredibly well. And then we went about trying to figure out how to get the word out. I went back to the old door-to-door thing because that's what I had done with my initial route. And what I found out was that there was a lot of principals out there that just weren't early adopters. You know, they didn't want to rock the boat. They didn't want anything new and weren't willing to change. So for a while there, we kind of had to figure out how best to market. But once we figured that out by going to some trade shows and that type of thing, this thing took off. And before long, we had more schools than we knew what to do with. We started having friends and family hear about our success and wanting to begin to do what we did as well. So we started a distributorship model where we would license what we do to others and kind of teach them the ropes, and did that for the first 7.5 years. And then 2 years ago, I hired a guy by the name of Aaron Walker. Jared, I know you know Aaron. Anyway, hired him as a business coach. And that was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. And along the way, Aaron said, you know what, Matt, I've been doing some research and I'm excited about the success that you guys have here 7.5 years into SSV. But do you have any idea how many schools there are out there that you guys aren't in yet? And the only reason why you're not is they don't know who you are. He said, so if it was me, I'd get after it, figure out how to grow your team so that there's more people out there sharing what you do, because every school in America needs your program. And that led to us becoming a franchise here starting about 14 months ago. We're on track right now, guys, to grow over 100% this calendar year alone. And it's incredible. So we've definitely been blessed, but it's definitely been a journey, that's for sure.
Well, and the thing I love about this is this has also, you know, obviously been a blessing from a business perspective and helping you and your family, but it's also just brought in a ton of money to these schools. How much money are we talking about that schools have benefited from doing this?
We've raised over $4 million for education and so far.
I mean, yeah. Wow. Yeah. How can you argue with that?
Wow. You know, 50 cents at a time. You
know? Yeah, I think that would be the, like you said earlier in the interview, Matt, is you know, oh, we're just talking quarters here. How quickly can that add up? But I mean, we're talking over a short period of time, relatively $4 million for school.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's 16 million quarters over the last couple of years. So that's pretty crazy.
good math, Chris.
I had to pull out my iPhone. You know, with that, Matt, I was curious that, you know, with an infrastructure that like you've built and with you franchising, I know that you have more people out there that are able to service these machines and to fill the machines, but knowing that it's still kind of, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's still kind of analog technology, so to speak. It's not like it can be, you know, passively filled up from just pushing a button on your computer. So how do you service thousands of machines over the country?
Well, that's where the franchisees come in, right? And they're the ones that make the most money. We get a small part of everything that they do because we provide the support, the system, and have given them the shortcut from point A to point B that it took me years to figure out. Many of them, you know, this is a side hustle that they do outside of their full-time work. And that's the way I built this thing for the first number of years. My first 75 schools, I built literally with my 98 Honda Accord part-time. Outside of, you know, my full-time advertising job. But there's a lot of folks, myself included, that have since then hired people to do a lot of the work. And what's interesting is, as I've gotten the word out there and we've gotten in front of more and more people, that we've got a huge team coming on that have business background, which I never really did, who are thinking about this at a much larger scale from the very beginning. And have knowledge of hiring and a lot of those things that I had no clue about when we got started, to where, you know, what it took me years to put together, many of these new guys in a matter of a couple of years are going to blow right by what me and some of the veterans on our team have done, just because it's a different world and we're all growing and learning and figuring out how to be more effective and efficient at what we do. See, the goal for me, Chris, was not just to make another income. The goal was to create a lifestyle, you know, to be able to come and go as I want, you know, to be able to take time off, to be the only dad with my daughter's volleyball team that is at every single game because I'm the boss and I can come and go as I want. And I don't have to ask anybody anymore if I need to take or if I can take vacation or whatever. So that was my real goal. I didn't want to create another full-time job for me. I already had one of those that I didn't like.
Sure.
So Matt, Chris and I, and you have mentioned we're all family men, we're all fathers here. And so I had mentioned earlier, I'm interested in the possibility of taking my five-year-old and creating some kind of entrepreneur-focused opportunity that will teach her. And vending is something that I've considered. And so whether someone is looking into a franchise with you guys or looking into something else, what advice do you have maybe for parents who are wanting to do something like that with their child?
Yeah, the biggest thing I would tell them first off is vending's a real business. Most professionals don't even consider vending to be a real business. So number one is that. Number two, you need to give your kids more credit than what you do because they're capable of much more than you think they are. I'll give you a great example. When I started SSV, I figured out real quickly that graphic design was going to be one of my biggest expenses, and the designers cost a lot of money. Well, I bought an iMac, I bought the Adobe suite, and my 10-year-old son, who's now just about to turn 20, was my first graphic designer.
He
ended up trading 2 hours of yard work and a good buddy of mine who's a trained Hollywood editor and graphic designer working in his yard for 2 hours on Photoshop and Illustrator. And then we got him some self-study courses along the way. And of course, we were able to provide an environment where he was able to learn at his own pace. But fast forward to today, he's been a designer for us and companies all over the country for years now. He's a sophomore in college. The last couple of years, he's made more money than a lot of adults have. And, you know, his sisters are following in the same footsteps. And then, of course, they've been around a business like ours ever since the beginning. I just went to the Texas PTA conference 2 weeks ago with my School Zone podcast, and we talk with different fundraising companies and school resource companies in hopes of providing a place where volunteers and administrators can get more information and background on those companies before they decide who they're going to work with their school. Well, my daughter, Becca, who's 14, came with me to that event. I did 33 interviews in 2 days, and she was the one, as I was doing the interviews, that went around to all the other companies on the show floor asking them if they'd like to come and be interviewed. So she was selling me and my idea as a 14-year-old, you know, for 2 straight days. How did she do that? Well, it's because she's been in the middle of an entrepreneurial family that has had high expectations, but has given room for growth for years. And that's all she knows.
Gosh, that's beautiful.
I love it, man. And I think it's brilliant that you're incorporating the podcasting into these shows, because most of these exhibitors are going to be like, heck yeah, I'd love to be interviewed. And then it's a introduction into a whole new thing that you guys are up to. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, to be honest, Jared, I got that from Joshua Sheets, Radical Personal Finance, at Podcast Movement last year, when I actually had an opportunity to be on his show while there. And I was like, holy smokes, man, the guy's knocking out weeks, if not months, of content, because everybody in the industry who is anybody is at the event. So why not apply the exact same thing and take John Lee Dumas's concept of batching to a whole new level? And so, you know, we've gotten our content now for the next 6-8 months in 2 days, and I can go back to focusing on, you know, where my real passion and real focus is, which is, you know, working with our franchise team and continuing to grow and improve the SSV opportunity for our schools and for the businesses that we're working with.
Matt, you might be my new hero.
Really? You're creating a business that's that can be to a degree passive. You're building a podcast that by batching, you've made it a passive thing as well. Yeah, that's incredible how you've been so efficient.
And maintaining, you know, being a dad and being a husband, and like, who out here listening to this podcast isn't interested in those things? So Matt, I love that you've cracked that code. And that you've been blessed, and you know, obviously there's been a tremendous amount of diligence that's gone into, you know, getting to this point, but congratulations.
Thanks. Well, I want to give kudos to you too, Jared, because 2 years ago, aside from listening to a couple podcasts, I knew nothing about podcasting. And since Podcast Movement 2 years ago, I've become a podcaster, and of course, you know, have gotten to know a lot of people in the community along the way. One of the things that we also do, which I think I may be the first one in history to do, is I do 2 internal podcasts a week that are private just for our franchisees. Mm. So talk about micro niche. You can't get any more niche than doing a podcast for 70 families. But, you know, we do interviews, we share best practices, successes and failures and all that on Tuesday mornings. And then on Thursday mornings, I do something that's called just SSV tips. And I take 5 to 10 minutes tops and talk about a specific topic, whether it be directly related to what we're doing in vending or success principles or whatever. And it's been a great way to bring our entire community together. Whereas, you know, the families are spread across 30 some odd states. And, you know, otherwise it's pretty difficult to do that.
So Matt, I have a question, and it's okay if you're not able to answer this, but I was just curious, how does the percentage breakdown work for the school who's allowing the machine to be placed versus the person that's maintaining it?
I mean, the school gets a quarter of what we do. The guys that are maintaining the machine and who are investing the money in the equipment and in the product and are there every month to work with the schools make the majority of the money. It ends up being a win-win-win though, because the schools don't need as many volunteers and have money to do more things than they need to do. I'll give you a great example. I was at a trade show in Grand Rapids, Michigan last December with a bunch of principals, and had a principal came by. I was kind of sharing what we were doing in the area. And she said, man, I'm excited. We're going to do this. I said, ma'am, would you mind my asking, what are you going to use the money for? She said, lice kits. I said, say again. She said, lice kits. She said, our district has so much money coming in from donors but it's all being earmarked for technology, iPads, laptops, all that, that a lot of the basic necessities like lice kits, because we need to do testing on a regular basis with some of our kids, we can't afford. So the first thing I'm going to buy with some of this money is lice kits. I mean, that's kind of the state of education in our country with some of those basic necessities, where a program like ours can step in and, you know, help them with a lot of those kind of needs.
My goodness. Yeah. Wow. Matt, I got to say, I'm very impressed. I know there's people that are listening saying, hey, I need to learn more about this. So what's the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, the best way to do that, Jared, would be to go to ssvbusiness.com, like you mentioned earlier. I also wrote a short ebook called Live Your Dreams, the top 10 reasons why you need to own a vending business, and set up a landing page just for the Star of the Doubts audience. They can go to ssvbusiness.com/Star of the Doubts and download that for free. And if they want to begin a dialogue, they can. Otherwise, they can at least get some insights from a guy who's been in the industry for a long time as to why vending might be a valuable addition to what they do.
Now, well said. Chris, do you have anything you want to?
I think what I want to ask is, you love Franklin, Tennessee, but are there any franchisees or vending machines in this town? This is
amazing, actually, there are none in the Nashville area right now.
Uh-oh. Jackpot.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, I'm in South Florida. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, so hopefully that one's not covered completely.
We can work that out too, Jared. We've got a couple, we've got a couple down in Dade and Broward counties, but there's a lot of other parts there in South Florida that are not.
Well, I see that as proof of concept, Matt.
No, Matt, I'm very impressed, and I'm very, you know, I was just, you know, making sure that I was up on all what you do with School Spirit Vending, but then I dug a little bit deeper and found out about the podcast, and then dug a little bit deeper and found out about SS Comics. You've got so much going on. It sounds like that you've just been, like, this thing to add a few dollars to your pocketbook and maybe pay off some debt turned into a real win-win-win for you and your family and everybody involved. So congratulations, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, man. Do we have a minute just to talk about the comic book stuff since you brought it?
Yeah,
I would absolutely love it.
So I was inspired to read as a kid reading comic books. I don't know if you guys were the same way, but I would hop on my bike, go to the local five and dime store and spend my allowance money or my lawn mowing money in my elementary and junior high years, you know, on comic books. And, you know, we started gaining some notoriety and some having some success in SSV. And I was like, man, I look at a lot of comic books today. They're adult themed. They're dark themed. You know, there's stuff that I wouldn't want my kids reading. And I bet that there's a lot of other parents out there that feel the same way. And I said, you know, what better way to give back to the kids that are our customers by creating a comic book series? So I found a couple of young guys that are graduates from Baylor University. One's a writer, one's an artist. And I said, guys, here's what I want to do. I want to teach principles to kids and I want it to be fun. Do you guys have any ideas? They said, well, we've always thought about maybe doing like superheroes, but monkeys as superheroes. And so we started a comic book series called Marlin and Percy. And Marlin and Percy are a couple of apes that want to be superheroes. And it's all about their adventures. Initially, I don't know if you guys have ever used a temporary tattoo or sticker machine, but when you use that, you push the quarters in and the mechanical mechanism pushes the sticker out in a little cardboard folder. 99% of the folders like that in the country coming out of vending machines are just blank. They're just white cardboard. We print on ours. And a couple of years ago, we started out by putting little four-panel Marlin and Percy comics on those folders. So the kids are not only getting a sticker, they're getting a comic, you know, deal as well. Kind of like Bazooka Joe, right? Yeah. When we were growing up.
Right.
So anyway, we started out there. And then I was like, man, would you guys have interest in putting together some full-length comics for me? And they're like, yeah, shoot, why not? So we now have done, we've released 5 full-length comic books. We're in the process of finishing up number 6th. We've also written a 200-page novel, which kind of gives some more backstory on Marlin and Percy and ties perfectly together with the comic series that we've done so far. But those are available online. And then we also give them away with many of our Vens and our machines to kids in ebook format to where they're not only getting a sticker, they're also getting a comic book as well. And, you know, hopefully, like I said, inspiring some of them. But those are available online at Amazon, and they can also be gotten at marlinandpercy.com for anybody that's interested.
I'm there right now, and I signed up to find out their origin story, so I'm excited.
Hey, Matt, we're going to cut it short, but we are grateful for your time. We appreciate your insights and certainly are excited for your wins and cool things that have happened. If you'd be willing maybe to share a final thought.
You know, the thing I would tell people, Jared, is we live in the greatest country on the planet still today with the greatest opportunity out there. And if you're not satisfied with where you're at, you have the ability to change that. It's not going to happen overnight. It's probably going to take a while, but don't just live a settled for life. Get after it, get busy, and take advantage of the opportunity that we have here, because you can provide more for yourself and your family. You don't have to slave away 40, 50, 60 hours a week for your entire life if you don't want to, but it is going to take an inordinate amount of work and effort to do what many others out there won't be able to do. So don't be looking for a shortcut. Just get excited about paying the price and making it happen, because it is possible. I'm living proof of it today.
Wow, that's well said. Yeah. We appreciate that, Matt.
Matt, thank you so much. This is inspiring.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate the opportunity. You need to give your kids more credit than what you do, because they're capable of much more than you think they are.